And although our global resistance is building, all over the world, Grandmother is shaking us awake from our long slumber because the threat is so great. Because power has set a weight. And maybe we should consider here how the central bank, and you know, every region of the world has them, how the central bank functions to draw all our energy to one hub and using its discretion funnels it out again in such a way that the world is turned constantly to power's advantage. The banks, via credit, suck money out of us, we who are the hands that literally rape the planet. And then they use this money to feed the nation states who keep us in chains. And the banks then also use it to refuel the raping all over again. So it is a weight that increases the advantage of power with each turn of the bowl, with each turn. It adds to its mass, which then keeps increasing its advantage all over again. Fattens its finances according to the terms it established. So we have to see the obvious, that the terms themselves are rigged. And the only way out is distributed generation. We haven't yet developed the mechanisms, however, both defensive and nascent, and it could be that the mechanisms we develop to resist are also the mechanisms that we use for self-governance. But we haven't developed these mechanisms that would allow us to grapple with the global threat, partly because power acts in secret and largely because we're denied the means to talk about it globally. There would be a huge sense of relief if we could just start these interchanges. The thought interchanges broadly and openly so that it's no longer, how did Shakespeare put it? Bad is the world and all will come to naught when such ill dealing must be seen in thought. All of us are seeing it in our thought. But it has to get out into the world, those thoughts. It has to be voiced broadly. And we're going to talk often about that and on the show today as well. So this defensive piece is that window through which we see the need to hold on to what we've created while interlinking our efforts with our brothers and sisters globally, i.e. with our eyes on a vision, which we use as our guideposts for structuring discussions and building a plan. And nascent is that window through which the future beckons, through which we see the need to build and feel the urge to found, while interlinking our efforts with our brothers and sisters globally, i.e. with our eyes on a vision, which we use as our guideposts for structuring discussions and building a plan. And both views call up the quality of leadership in every one of us. And it seems to me Karl Popper was not being as ruthlessly consistent in his thinking as we need him to be. And if this is so, I think the reason may be laid at the feet of the progress mythology. Although his critique of historicism discredits the notion of progressively unfolding stages. And in Beginning Again, I argue that a good shorthand for the historicist myth might be story leading reality, the notion that history, quote unquote, is unfolding in some predetermined manner according to some story or other, whether the story is Hegel's and Power's idea of perfection realizing itself, thought realizing itself, or Marx and Engels' development of the productive forces. And as an aside, I believe Popper's concerns about the class uses of tribe, the base mindset of class being the citizen-barbarian divide. And I really like Virginia Woolf's language, the two worlds, which we talked about on the March 24th, 2013 audio blog called The Mindset of In and Out, which was about her book, Three Guineas. So I think his concerns about tribalism set him up to make some unwarranted assumptions about tribe in a non-class context, i.e., to harbor erroneous notions about earth-connected peoples. So while his historicism critique includes a debunking of the stages of history bunk, Popper's humanism, and humanism in the sense of believing in human goodness and our capacity to figure things out and to solve the problems that confront us, seems to have led him into an uncritical acceptance of civilization mythology, an acceptance that I would consider historicist, by which I mean that the notion that humans continuously strive to improve their conditions, or as I would put it, grow their gifts, is often used to disappear non-class peoples and to uncritically imagine the invention of class to be a result of efforts to grow our own gifts continuously, as opposed to being the result of an elite's efforts to own, marshal, and exploit all the gifts of a global humanity. So I see class as an energy sink and a blockage